Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
By you, I mean us.
You're an idiot, Cozy.
You're an idiot.
You don't know the game.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You clearly don't. You haven't put your feet on the court.
No, I have not. So therefore, my opinion doesn't matter.
No.
Yours does, though. But the reason we bring that up is you look at the ages of these guys, and we went over it just a couple of seconds ago. Steph's going to be 32. Klay's going to be 30. Draymond's going to be 30. Listen, you got to start to think about how you're going to have sustainable excellence with the Golden State Warriors. D'Angelo Russell's 23. Now, we were talking about moving, say, a D'Angelo Russell and a pick before it all got started, right? Mm-hmm. You said, what about that idea? What did you think about potentially moving the pick and moving a player before the trade deadline?
Well, I just think that with D'Angelo Russell, you can't do that because the one thing we're basing the whole signing off of is whether he can play with Steph or Klay. But we haven't even gotten a sample size of that yet. So I think trading him before the deadline this season, which was a report that came out as soon as the contract was signed, as soon as he gave it to the Warriors saying that he will be traded before the deadline, I think that'd be just silly. I think that'd be silly to do because you don't even know what you can do with Steph and Klay on the court yet.
All right, now here's my counter to that in just a thought process, right? This is just a thought bubble on this one. You look at what they have moving forward and the ages of the guys I just gave you. You know that your guys are going to be 30 to early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you I can add a significant middle age, you know, lower age, but still veteran in the league piece that's in a position that doesn't fit them right now, and possibly you trade a D'Angelo Russell, you trade the number one overall pick to Detroit, and you get Andre Drummond. You get a center who, before you answer, I'm going to give you some numbers on the guy. Drummond, who has played 38 games this year, averages right around 18 points, right around 16 rebounds, gives you 3 assists per ball game, nice and simple. He's a nice, simple, easy fit in the big man role. All he does is he's a more skilled I forget the guy's name. Who's the Australian center? And I've got
Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, Andrew Bogut. He's a more skilled Andrew Bogut.
Uh-huh.
What about making a move like that? And now that's not going to do anything for you this year, but you're going to have him and you're going to know I'm going to be sprinkling him with these great shooters in Steph and Klay.
He is super young, but the
26, he'll be 27 next year when they're together at this time.
Well, I mean, not that as young as I thought, but he's my age.
Still.
That makes you feel better.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, George Kittle.
Oh.
George Kittle, 3 months younger than I am.
Really?
Yeah, doing a little bit more with his life. But
you can't judge yourself that
but
way.
But no, so with Andre Drummond, though, it's an interesting point because if you do happen to do that, right? I think the other name that was thrown out too was Karl Anthony Towns. Could you do that for a Karl Anthony Towns? And everyone disparaged that immediately. Any Warrior fan just like, nah, soft, doesn't even work, whatever. Whatever they're saying about him when they're sitting on their couches calling him soft. But Andre Drummond's an interesting one because it depends, though, on how they build the team around him. I think if you put Andre
You're going to let him sit around. Listen, Steph and Klay ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Unless Steph gets a crazy wild hair and at the very end of his career says, I want to finish my career in Charlotte because that's where I'm from. I would never anticipate that. My guess is he will always, and Klay will always be Golden State Warriors.
Right. But what have we seen from the Warriors that's not only important from their starting role, but in the finals and in the playoffs, it's not just the starters who are important. Right now you're seeing guys sit as much as we've ever seen them sit in the playoffs. That's another thing from those 2004 finals games that you were noticing is Shaq and Kobe just never left the floor.
No.
They were telling the coach, like, hey, keep me on the floor. That was something that you don't really see all that often anymore.
No,
but,
no, you don't. You see stars sitting in this league that already has extended their season to make them. See, we've got to give them – Here's the next one. You got to give these players comfort pets. You have got to have comfort pets on the sideline for these young players, because that's the only thing that's going to make them better when they, God forbid, have to play back-to-back game. 2 games in 2 days is so, well, physically tough, but it's the mental part, Steve.
I don't like the sarcasm that you're bringing
out here.
So I'm
just, what sarcasm? I'm coming, you know what, I'm becoming progressive in my thinking.
Right.
Get them a comfort pet and maybe some crayons and some coloring books.
This is very progressive. This is very progressive.
Very progressive.
But this is throwing me off track here, Coach. But no, Andre Drummond, though. I'm telling you.
You can let him vape.
The thing is,
let him vape some dope on the sidelines, too.
If you're in the playoffs or you make it to the finals, what's been important is just getting these getting this depth at the wing. Getting guys who can play a little bit of defense and shoot the three ball for you. So if you're going to do this sort of trade for Andre Drummond, then okay. But you also got to get other pieces around, whether you're going to be keeping Amari Spellman. But is Willie Cauley-Stein, does that mean you pick up his $2,286,000 whatever it was option? Right, next season.
You know what? That's not bad for a backup.
Do you do that sort of thing? Like, who else do you have to build this team? Because it's no longer just who is your starting five anymore. Mm-hmm. It's really, for playoffs and beyond, it's who your starting eight is. And if they bring in Andre Drummond, then they'd have to figure out a way to work around pieces. How about this, though? What about Harden? James Harden.
James Harden. Oh, I thought there was an old James.
No, I'm talking about Rich.
Rich, I was going to say. The former A's pitcher.
Yeah.
Good old number 40.
Yeah. Very unfortunate to be named Richard, and you know the nickname that comes along with Richard, and then your last name be Harden. But James Harden, though.
Is it actually comedy? Like, are his parents actually comedy gold? Right? See, I know you're thinking it's a disadvantage. I think the parents were ahead of the curve on that one.
But James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
James Harden.
Yes?
What would you think about the prospect of that? Because that is floating around out there.
Okay, let me think that through. Okay, let me just think that through. Because from the 408, I'd love Cat, Karl Anthony Towns, but how do you get him? Do you have enough? Same guy, 408, or woman. I'm not going to, what is it? What's the new pronoun that's in Merriam-Webster? They?
I don't know.
Well, that's because I'm progressive, not like you, stuck in the old world. D'Lo and a number one pick isn't enough, is it? Well, if I look at Minnesota, they have a new general manager, president of basketball operations. He could be given the rope to remake the franchise. Mm. That means blowing it up. Now, they've spent a ton of money on Karl Anthony Towns and the kid Wiggins, and it is not working. Two former number one picks.
Right.
And this could be a chance for the new president of basketball operations, whose name escapes me right now, to make the team in his image. If that means moving Karl Anthony Towns, you, of course, are going to try to get as much as you can. I don't know if D'Lo and a number one is enough, but I will tell you this. This is my true belief of the Golden State Warriors. I have said this now since Joe Lacob and Peter Guber took over the franchise.
Okay.
They will find ways to get things done that they want to get done. For instance, we all knew Kevin Durant was going to leave last year, right? We had debates at this time. Oh, no, maybe he stays if they win another championship, if they lose another championship, whatever it was. I made the statement, listen, they're going to lose him, but they're going to fill that role with something. And I quickly got a text from another media member who's a friend in town.
Ooh.
Who was being polite, but they were pointing out they can't do it because they're strapped cash-wise. They're not going to be able to make a move to make a player-for-player exchange. And I politely said back on the air, I'm not saying that's how it's going to happen, player-for-player. They're smart enough to find a way within the rules to fill needs. And what did the Golden State Warriors do when they lost Kevin Durant? Did they lose Kevin Durant to free agency? Or did they trade Kevin Durant and acquired some pieces for him
right.
that then become productive for them in the future? When I say the Golden State Warriors, you know what? Everyone laughs at Joey Lightyears. Joey Lightyears is Joey Lightyears. I want Joey Lightyears' jersey selling in the team store with a number one on it,
well,
and I will buy it, and I will wear it proudly.
Easy.
But the bottom line is,
easy.
I think they'll find a way. If Karl Anthony Towns is the guy they want, they will find a way to be the most competitive bidder. I don't know if they're going to get him, but they'll be competitive.
Now, I don't know what to make so much. For one, with the Kevin Durant thing, they said that they got D'Angelo Russell just simply because they were trying to save face. They traded for D'Angelo Russell because they were trying to save face there because Kevin Durant chose a new team in free agency. So
save face, it's another piece that you have. It's a, would you rather have nothing or have an all-star piece coming back to you?
Right.
Let me kick someone in the nads. Go ahead with your story.
Right, but I'm just now this could be a move that is not only going for this season, but something that could be made for the future. Would they really trade D'Angelo Russell in that case? Maybe they did trade for him in a sense that, look, they have an idea of what they want to do going forward, and it's a part, and it keeps D'Angelo Russell on this team. And there was something, I don't know what you make of these type of reports.
I had a great question for you, but go ahead.
I don't know what you make of these type of reports, but earlier in the season, something that came out with D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, and Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns that we all should play together
super
one day.
Super team.
We all want to play together.
We're a super team.
One day we're all going to play together.
And we ain't going to say where.
Right.
Remember, that was also part of it.
Yeah.
We ain't going to say where.
Yeah.
It's like those three are going to be the next version of Bosch, Wade, and LeBron.
Right.
Right? They're all going to take a little less, and we're all going to be together because that's the way we're going to change the NBA. All right.
Would you really think, though, that if that's going to happen, that they would trade D'Angelo Russell for Karl Anthony Towns? D'Angelo Russell and the whatever pick, the top five lottery pick that they're going to get?
That's fine, but D'Angelo Russell just played his hand when he decided to sign the big long-term deal with the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
Right? So if you're going to do it, maybe you're going to do it when you're all graybeards, okay? But it ain't happening because Karl Anthony Towns has his money. You just got your money. Booker just got his money. What are you guys going to wait for the next 4 years?
Maybe that's what they mean.
They're still younger guys. Well, that brings me to my point.
What's that?
If you are Golden State and Karl Anthony Towns is your guy, I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios to throw at Minnesota, and you tell me what you think would be more appealing.
Okay.
Okay? And this is just going to be the four starters. You want Karl Anthony Towns. Would you rather, if you're Minnesota, get the number one pick, the first round pick? That's a top three pick. Could turn out to be this kid Wiseman, who many are saying he's a big 6'10", 6'11 kid with a 7-plus wingspan. They're saying he could be the next great big man in the game. The way the game is played, he can do all the – he can shoot the three, but he can play
– Yes.
You know, he's a multi-positional guy at a big man.
Yes.
So you get that pick and D'Angelo Russell, who's 23 years old. So you're getting a 23-year-old and a 19-year-old to restart your franchise with a new team president – who can then go out and hire his coach, who then has Wiggins who he could possibly move to get some more young pieces in there. Plus, Minnesota stinks, and they're going to get their first-round pick to remake things or to begin the deal.
And that's for Karl Anthony Towns.
That's for Karl Anthony Towns. Or, if you're Minnesota, if you're trying to remake your franchise, would you rather get the number one pick from Golden State and, as the beginnings of the deal, include Draymond Green in that deal? Who is 29 years old, you know, is on the backside, but he's locked in financially, right? At a more reasonable rate, right? In fact, let's take a look. D'Angelo Russell makes $27.2 million. Draymond Green makes $18.5 million. Would you rather have that, an older player, because you need to set a different tone for your franchise? I'm going to let you think about it because I got to step aside.
Yes.
When I come back with Steven, we're going to go over what you would rather have in that scenario, if you're Minnesota and you're the Warriors and you want Karl Anthony Towns. Plus, we've got Wes Goldberg coming in a little bit later. Is he from the TV show The Goldbergs? Is he one of the cast members on The Goldbergs?
I'm really not sure, Jim.
Okay, we're going to find out when Wes Goldberg joins us at 11:30. He's the Warrior beat writer for the Mercury News. We'll find out if one of the characters is based on him as a young boy. When we continue, Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we got a busy day here at 95.7 The Game. We will keep you caught up on the games going on in the National Football League. You've got, after a brilliant day yesterday, could have gone better for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they have a clear path. I think I hashtagged that last night. Clear path.
You hashtag that?
Did I hashtag no excuses or hashtag clear path? I hashtag something because that's what I do on the social.
That's what you do. You also don't hit the follow button on my page.
You know what? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. I don't follow a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm going to complain about this every single show that we have.
Do it. I think I followed Stephen Babb.
That's great.
He's a caller.
That's fantastic. You don't follow Nice Guy Stephen though. I mean, if you want,
regardless,
if you want tweets about Taco Bell and Schroeder's, then you're going
to
get them.
Or irregardless, as I like to say. Because it's not a word.
Not a word.
Bottom line is a great day for the 49ers yesterday, and there's a big day today. Listen, we've got a lot of stuff that we've got to do here at 95.7 The Game, including today the Warriors and Memphis Grizzlies will play. You'll hear that. And at 1:30, the pregame show starts with John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. We've got a couple of great guys coming in after that. But this is a show that we do every week called Warriors This Week. It's brought to us by Oaks Card Club. Oaks Card Club, play it smart, play it Oaks. Let's bring in our first guest, shall we, Stephen? Do you know who it is? It's the great Wes Goldberg. Wes is a Warrior beat writer for the Mercury News, and he joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Wes, Jim Cozumore, and Stephen Langford. My first question to you, Wes, is which character on the Goldbergs is based on your life?
Whoopi? I don't know.
Hilarious.
There you go.
That's an even better answer.
There you go.
That's an even better answer,
That is
Whoopi.
A way better answer.
It is, actually. Way to go, my man. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. And I know we got football going on, but you got to stay tight with those Golden State Warriors. Hey, how about Warriors and Grizzlies, Wes? Nothing bigger than that, is there?
It's the biggest matchup of the weekend, you know? I mean, you got two heavy hitters here. I don't know what else could top that.
You know what? That we are at the midway point of the season. This marks game number 41 for the Golden State Warriors. When you look back at the first half of the season, we're going to try to be nice now. Are there positives or things that, knowing this was not going to be a season like we've been blessed to see the last 5 years, are there positive things that stand out from the first half of the year for Golden State that we can kind of say, didn't see this coming. This is a good sign. This is something I could think positively of for the future.
Yeah, you know, I think it's all about, you know, what your expectations are. And if you expected the Warriors to make the playoffs or something like that, then you're probably really disappointed. But, you know, this team didn't expect to make the playoffs. They didn't really think that they were going to be very good. And I think you got to give them a little bit of credit from the top down of realizing that pretty early on and saying, you know what, to make the most of the season, to make it a productive season, that's a word that they use a lot, productive, they need to basically fill out their depth and develop some players and figure out who among those players could be a part of the team going forward to try to win a championship in the next 2, 3, 4 years, you know, within Steph Curry's window. And I think they've done that. They've kind of hit on a few of these guys. I mean, a guy like Kai Bowman looks like a backup point guard of the future. Eric Paschal, obviously, he's slowed down a little bit lately, but he was right there in the rookie of the year discussion early in the season. He looks like a nice piece moving forward. Alan Smyligich has been a pleasant surprise with how he's been able to play at the NBA level. So, and you know, you got other veterans like Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson, depending on what they do with those kind of guys who may or may not play a part. But I think they are figuring out what guys, you know, 6 or 7 through 10 or 11 are going to look like on that roster going forward. And these are guys who are young and you can continue to develop and can be nice little role players for a team that has Steph and Klay Thompson back and healthy. And that's going to be a huge development for this team going forward.
D'Angelo Russell, he has missed the last 6 games, and he's making his return today against Memphis. We're 41 games into the season. What have you seen from D'Angelo Russell in the first half of his season with the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, he's got like this interesting like old man game thing. So he plays really slow. It doesn't really fit with Steve Kerr's like ball movement offense, the fast pace, the up tempo. We've all heard all of that, right? But he's managed to acclimate himself. He's playing off of Draymond Green a lot. He's actually developed a really nice two-man game with Draymond Green. I remember specifically in that Dallas game, you remember when he like went off like 30 points in the first half, 12 points in the first 2 minutes, and Dallas just started frantically trapping him and stuff like that. And him and Draymond just started figuring out how to beat the trap. So Draymond Green would come up, set a high screen. D'Angelo Russell would pass it to him. Draymond would pass it back to him. And it was just like, is that D'Angelo Russell or is that Stephen Curry out there with the way that that two-man game and that chemistry was playing? So that, to me, was one of the things that stood out, was that D'Angelo Russell had a reputation as this high-usage, low-efficiency player, and he's been inarguably their best player this season, but also has done the work necessary to, you know, fit within what Steve Kerr wants to do, that motion offense type of thing. And if he continues to get those reps and continues to get that practice, and eventually you're playing off of guys like Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson will get out there to space the floor a little bit more, I'm a little bit more bullish on his long-term fit if we get to that point with him than a lot of people are.
Wes Goldberg covers the Warriors for the Mercury News, joining us 95.7 The Game on Warriors This Week. Jim Cosimore, Stephen Langford with you. Trade deadline February 7th. No, is it February 7th, February 6th? I keep getting it wrong.
It's the 6th, Cos.
It's the 6th. Get your dates right. February the 6th, trade deadline. So for the Golden State Warriors, how much active conversation will there be versus how much is their name just going to be out there because they're the Golden State Warriors? Do you think this could be a somewhat active time for Bob Myers and the club?
You know, it kind of depends on the expectations, right? All I keep hearing is D'Angelo Russell trade rumors and stuff, like Karl Anthony Towns here, Ben Simmons there, and it's a bunch of unsubstantiated stuff. It's just literally rumors, and it's just kind of wild to me that we keep hearing about that stuff. That's not going to happen. And so if that's what you're going to be looking for, then yeah, I would say it's going to be a pretty quiet trade deadline. I do think they'll make a move. I just don't think it'll be a D'Angelo Russell-related move. I think you could see a guy like Alec Burks get traded, maybe Glenn Robinson or something like that, to a team who maybe is looking to, you know, strengthen their bench for a playoff run and looks at what the Warriors have with veterans like Burks and Glenn Robinson. Like, you know what, that's the kind of player we need to make a sustained playoff run. And they could call them. They could call the Warriors and say, hey, we'll give you, you know, a couple second-round picks or something like that. So, I mean, it's not gonna you know, be number one on the ESPN ticker, but it will be something, I think, between now and the trade deadline.
Steph Curry's been cleared to travel with the team for the first time since his injury. What have you seen just with the morale on the bench when Steph Curry, guys like that, him and Klay Thompson, are just all on the bench, at least there, talking to these young guys? What have you seen just from the bench standpoint of Stephen Curry actually being there?
Yeah, it's actually, I was surprised by how much of an impact it really made. I mean, you just think of a guy sitting on the bench, it's like big deal. The guy's wearing a blazer, who cares? But, you know, just having him there is a reminder for these young guys. I was talking to him, actually, I think it was Marquise Chris before he was waived, and I was like, what was that like having Steph Curry there? And he was like, he's Steph Curry, and he just, like, talks to you like he's a normal dude. And it's just like, yeah, you're his teammate, man. Like, there's only 14 of you guys this year. But it just sort of shows the reverence they have for a guy like Steph Curry. And to have him on the bench is just, again, a reminder of what the backbone of this organization is. It's Steph Curry, it's winning, it's championships, it's MVP awards, it's all these things. And I think that gives this team confidence. Not to mention that Steph is a really smart player, and he's been helpful for these young guys. He's, you know, taken them aside and said, hey, do this, do that, you know, make this adjustment. And he's, you know, talked to coaches on the bench and has helped with adjustments mid-game too. So, you know, that all of that only helps, right? And to have Steph there on the bench, kind of seeing the guys who he's going to eventually be playing with this season and next season, will help him too, as far as him getting acclimated when he eventually gets back out there.
And we've seen videos of him practicing, doing drills with his left hand, looking more and more comfortable, and looking like he could return from injury sooner rather than later. And it was said he could return by maybe February or March would be the earliest. Do you actually see him returning to the roster this season?
Yeah, I do. I think we're looking at March, probably around that time. They're going to want to see him out there, and they're going to want to reward him. I mean, the difference between playing in March and coming back and then, you know, just saying, like, miss the whole season and then having to return late October is so much – that's so much time for a basketball player to just accumulate some rust, so to speak. And I think they want to get him out there. They want to get a sample size with him and D'Angelo out there and Draymond as well. And so I think that there's a lot of motivation to get out there. And plus, you can end the season on a good note. You can kind of go into the summer with some good vibes and just a little bit more understanding of what this team is going to look like with Steph Curry there, because they're going to have a lot of decisions to make this summer. And again, small sample size, but a bigger sample size than they have now nonetheless.
As we continue with Wes Goldberg, he joins us here on 95.7 The Game on Warriors This Week. Yeah, but part of that, Wes, is next year Steph's 32, Klay's 30, Draymond's 30. Do you add a veteran piece because, well, your guys are getting a little bit older NBA-wise and you want to stay and maintain at the greatness for whatever they can carry you? Or do you add younger pieces to try and have some sustainability because, you know, eventually it's going to be over for Steph. It's going to be over for Klay. It's going to be over for Draymond at some point.
Yeah, and that's the biggest argument for keeping D'Angelo Russell is that he's 23 years old and he's already got an all-star appearance under his belt, right? That's the biggest argument for keeping a guy like him and keeping and developing guys like Alan Smilegeach and Eric Paschal and these other guys. But, you know, they're probably going to add at least one veteran, I would expect. They have a $17 million trade exception that they're going to use. I expect them to use that on a veteran unless something, you know, they could potentially use that on a younger piece, but that younger piece will be a lot tougher to go get. So I'd expect it to be, you know, a guy like, I'm just going to throw out names here, but like a Rudy Gay or a Trevor Ariza, somebody like in that sort of mold, where you could absorb that contract for a year and have that player play a meaningful part of your bench rotation. But I also think that they don't want to do away with all of the productivity that they've had this season, where you're like, hey, Kai, Eric Paschal, hey, good job this season developing, but now we're just going to fill out the rest of the bench with veterans and stuff like that, because then you've basically wasted a whole year. You want to kind of build this young bench group and continue to develop them. So they'll probably add a couple pieces, veteran pieces, to sustain a playoff run. But I fully expect a lot of these young guys who have been so impressive to play a role next season, too.
One of the newer Warriors, Omari Spellman, got his first start against the L.A. Clippers the last game. And I'm wondering, do you think that this is going to be a trend going forward where we see Omari Spellman get some more extended minutes so they can get him used to playing on this roster, since he will be one of the guys who's here in the future?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think we'll see that. And I also think Steve Kerr has nothing to lose at this point. They walked into that game with the worst rated offense in the league, and so okay, yeah, just throw Omari Spellman there at center, see if he could space the floor, see if he could sort of jigger something up on offense. And there was, the flow was good. There was additional spacing, obviously, with Spellman, and shooting 40% from 3-point range this season. I think it helped. I think they view Spellman obviously as a longish term piece on this roster. And, I think we'll continue to see extended minutes. And, with Marquese Chris gone, Kevon Looney, sidelined indefinitely, it's basically Spellman and Willie Cauley-Stein sharing most of the bulk of the minutes at center. I don't think we'll continue to see Smilegeach, for the balance of this NBA season. They want to move him back down to Santa Cruz at some point. So it's those two guys who are going to be splitting most of the time at center.
Wes, we know it's a busy day for you. You got to work and all that stuff. So we always appreciate you coming on and giving us some time. But I want to ask you this. This is a different year for anyone covering the Golden State Warriors, and you've got to watch some difficult basketball at times. When there's not a Warrior game, what team or teams do you find yourself gravitating towards as you watch the league pass, as you watch other games around the NBA? Is there a team that kind of has caught your eye or is just fun to watch? Last year, people would say it was the Kings and the Nets. Even though they weren't great, they were entertaining and they were interesting. Is there something you're having fun watching this year?
The Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo's emergence has been really, really interesting. I mean, you see all the Bam Adebayo highlights, and to watch him actually in a game has been really, really cool. He's probably going to win Most Improved Player. And those are always the guys that I gravitate toward. I mean, like a couple years ago, Pascal Siakam, guys like that. So it's those are always sort of the guys that I ended up wanting to watch, because you're literally watching them blossom into, all NBA caliber players. So I would say, and for the Heat, in general, they're outperforming expectations. Also, I'm from South Florida, so I've got a little love for that team. So
that
also plays into it.
Cool.
But I would say the Heat are probably the team I'm watching on League Pass the most at this point.
Who do you like in the football games today? You like Kansas City or Houston?
I wouldn't count out Houston. Mm-hmm. I would not count out Houston. But, man, Patrick Mahomes, he's playing well. I think I kind of like Kansas City. I'll go with Kansas City. I'll go with the favorite there. It was actually funny. Yesterday during the Titans-Ravens game, I had landed in Memphis yesterday afternoon watching I'm watching the Titans game from my hotel room. And then I realized this is like the travel life, right? I realized I'm actually in Tennessee for this upset. I didn't realize it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm
That's
in
so
Tennessee
true.
For this. So I walked down to a sports bar and I watched the fourth quarter in a sports bar. It was like really cool. So I've been really enjoying the playoffs.
That's awesome.
Good.
That's a great story, but it's so true about travel life in the NBA. I never knew when it was what day it was. I just knew if it was game day or not a game day, right? You don't know if it's Tuesday, is it Thursday? It doesn't matter. Does the team I'm covering have a game tonight? And sometimes I'd wake up in a hotel and go, "What city am I in again?" And then you realize where you are and you try to get on with your life. So I understand that story you just told about. Hey, I'm in Tennessee. This would be cool to go hang out with Tennesseans and enjoy their team.
Absolutely, yeah. Usually you just know what arena you got to walk to.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yep. All right, great stories. We appreciate it, Wes. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll follow you at the Mercury News, okay?
Thanks, Wes.
Appreciate it.
There you have it, the great Wes Goldberg at WC Goldberg. Get him on the tweet box. Or is that his Finsta?
I never know when to chime in with the thanks. I want to say thank you also. It's always up to the driver of the show, the guy in the H chair, to say thank you. But I tried doing it there. Did you hear that? Like right before his answer.
Very grateful.
I don't think he heard me, though.
Very grateful.
I try and say thanks, Wes. Thanks, Wes. Whatever. But the thing is with the Heat, and he was talking about, it's funny what bringing Jimmy Butler in from Minnesota did to that team. And you know why? Because they have something called Heat culture there. Heat culture. That's what they're ran by when Pat Riley's in town. It's the Heat culture. And the culture there, clearly, is winning. And that's something that guys on the Minnesota Timberwolves and Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, that's why Jimmy Butler had such a big gripe, is because clearly these guys weren't going all out to win. So Jimmy Butler, you place him with a bunch of younger dudes. You got a guy like Tyler Hero, who's just coming into the league. Kendrick Nunn, who's emerging from the Santa Cruz Warriors. You bring guys like that, it changes around everything, and it shows me, and it shows like what just having a plan in place can do for these teams. A Heat culture was there, even though they didn't have the players. Bam Adebayo, as he just mentioned, even though they signed a couple of players to these long-term deals in Deion Waiters and James Johnson, which really didn't pan out too much, but it shows here the Warriors, they have a culture, and that's an important thing going forward when your team's kind of in a down year.
And it's going to be interesting to see if that culture can re-ramp up
right
after it was disturbed. The culture was going great for 7 years, and it started,
yeah,
remember, didn't start with Steve Kerr. Started with a guy named Jackson.
Right.
Mark Jackson was the guy who began the culture.
Uh-huh.
Kerr took it to the next level, but now it's been halted.
Right.
Can they re-ramp up starting next year when they get guys back and add pieces?
I don't think it's been halted. I think the culture is still there. They just don't have the players right now to win that many games in the NBA, only to get 9 wins. And sure, they have D'Angelo Russell, but other than that, these guys are rotational pieces, and that's okay.
Yep.
That's fine. I think the culture is still there. Hearing Willie Cauley-Stein, it was a few weeks ago. I forgot which game he was talking about. It was after Willie Cauley-Stein had a really good game, and he was talking about just how it is at practice every single day. And it's nothing's changed in that circumstance. Like they still go in there with the thought of, look, we still want to get better every single day, regardless of, even though they know, like these guys clearly know that they're not exactly the team that's going to win the NBA Finals or even get into the playoffs. Like, they know that, but there's still something there to where it should give you a little hope in the future.
And
that's all I'm saying.
That's why we ask you to stick around at 1:30. You got Warriors. Warriors pregame with John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason.
Yes, sir.
And then they're going to be here to get you ready for tip off. Tim and Jim will call. Is that right? Tim and Jim will call the game. Yep, that's
right. Yes, it's on the road.
Yep, and then after the game, you're going to get JD and Whitey again. So we got a full day here for you on the Golden State Warriors. We also have some phone calls at 888-957-9570. OC in Rohnert Park, a lovely place, I'm told. I think I stopped in Rohnert Park for lunch once.
That's a great story, Coase.
I know. I think that's it.
This is the same type of story where you ate lunch at the place that Paul McCartney once
ate
lunch.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story. That's a darn good story. The guy was sick. Paul McCartney, have you ever heard the story?
It was on Route 66,
on Route 66. When he was 66 years old, he rented a convertible with his then wife, and they started in Chicago, drove Route 66, and then they were in Oklahoma City, and they pulled into this diner, and it's like Pops or something, because it's all sodas from all over the world and ancient sodas that they don't even make anymore.
Yeah.
It's just McCartney standing in line. Wait a table for two.
I just wanted a turkey sandwich.
Yeah. Soup and sandwich, table for two.
A sandwich or some chips, you know.
Can I sit at the diner, at the bar? let's go to Rohnert Park, OC. What do you got for us on the Golden State Warriors, OC?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to hear you guys actually lean away from the Giannis and the cat talk, because it doesn't really seem very feasible. I think when the Warriors brought in Durant, it kind of made everyone think, like, oh, that's going to happen every year, and it's not really the way that it works. I mean, the way they brought in Durant, the stars aligned for Durant. The way the stars aligned for Durant is more of like an anomaly than actual reality. So I just don't see that happening again.
I hear you, but here's my thinking on that, OC, is that you don't have to hang up on these guys when I start talking. You can let them keep going. My thinking on that is the Warriors.
He dropped, Coase.
He just dropped? Is that what it was? Okay.
He made his point and he dropped the mic.
He dropped the mic. He said, that's it. Don't talk about those other guys.
He dropped the mic, you know.
Listen, well, see you later. The Warriors are big game hunters, right? They're going to find some nice little finds at the bottom of the barrel that fill out the roster. They're big game hunters. And that's why Giannis's name is out there. He's not leaving Milwaukee.
No way.
But Karl Anthony Towns, there could be a move there because you have a new president of basketball operations.
That's the thing, OC. It is feasible. It is. You got pieces that you are willing to trade here.
The other side of that for the Warriors is if you want to create sustainable greatness, you know you're getting instantly better when Klay and Steph come back healthy next year.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond here, you got a core of greatness. Why not have a 24-year-old guard and a 19-year-old number two overall pick that's 6'10" that are sprinkled in? Now I can look at a team that can compete now, and I can look at a team that I think is probably going to be pretty damn good for the next 7 years. And I got a brand new building that just has a 9-win team in it. I need to have some sustainable greatness to sell those high-priced tickets over there.
Right.
So there are a couple of ways to look at it. I don't know if I want to go back in on super team and try to dominate instantly, or let's have a sustained level of greatness here for the next 7 to 10 years, knowing that Steph and Klay are coming back next season.
Yeah, and look, again, the new, it's not just these super teams anymore, Coves. It's depth. It's all about depth.
That's true.
The reason that the Raptors were able to keep up with the Warriors there is not only, I mean, did they have Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry, who doesn't really perform in the playoffs, who I praise, by the way, all the time on the air and every single time in the playoffs, people come at me and say, look, I told you, you're not good in the playoffs, blah, 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 get out of here. But they had depth, though. And it turned out, you know, guys like Fred VanVleet have one of the biggest roles in that final. So you need depth, though. That's the thing that you got to have moving forward. And that's what teams right now like the Lakers have, like the Clippers have, these top teams in the West, teams like the Milwaukee Bucks over in the East. And you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's good enough to be three players. Like you got, you need depth going forward. And that's what's going to be important for this team.
All right, a couple of things that we can go over when we continue here. I've got some questions on the Golden State Warriors looking forward at guys like Amari Spellman. Will they call a Stein? How are they going to fit? Why is Steve Kerr giving Spellman a little bit more run? Does he have a future with this team? Draymond Green's involvement with the 10 technical fouls that he has this season. We have a lot more to go over. Remember, coming up at 1:30, we've got JD and Whitey with a pregame show, yes?
I do want to say the Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and their performance last night, I got a way to tie that into what's happened with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. And there's one constant in this entire equation, and I want to get to that, too.
Oh, that's spectacular. That's, you know,
he's the gamote.
Oh, I like the gamote. All that with Steven has just teased me, like, beyond titillation. I can't wait to come back from this break. It's Langford and Cozumel on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Where's the with John Dickinson?
That's only in the open.
Okay.
That's only in the open.
Because that's my guy.
Yes.
But he's not here right now. We're in his stead. That's right. Warriors This Week here on 95.7 The Game. We do it every week, usually on a Saturday. Yesterday, the big NFL game with the 49ers. So we had a lot of 49ers discussion going all day yesterday, and so they moved the show, the weekly Saturday show, to this morning to do our Warriors This Week, brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Oaks Card Club, play it smart, play at Oaks. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
We got the rules in.
You got
exactly what we were talking about.
Look at you. Hour and 40 till JD and Whitey.
Yeah, I know. And are they already here?
I'm not sure.
They usually, because I stay in here. You know, I'll give you a quick little behind the curtain thing. This is like Oz.
They're pulling the curtain back.
I'm pulling the curtain back. When I'm filling in the morning, you got these guys in here working, and as soon as there's a break, everyone heads for the door.
Yeah.
Everyone finds a different corner of the building to get to.
Yep.
Like Lowe's off to the coffee station. Sometimes Joel will stay. If the other two guys are out first, Joel will stay back. He needs his privacy. Dibs has to decompress on a couch out there. It's like the break comes in, and they will take every nanosecond to decompress.
Well, yeah.
And reload for the next segment.
Yeah. You work every day with each other for quite a while, for multiple years. You have your set ways. Lo has some, you know, he has some phone calls to make. A lot of people rely on him for a lot of different things.
Yes,
and you are correct. He's basically like a firefighter. He's just always out. He's just, you know, out there solving problems.
Yes,
one phone call at a time. Dibs, he likes to just go out and chill on the couch for a little bit. And Joe likes to get the show ready when he sits in his host chair. So, you know, they all do their different things. Yep. But, you know, it makes for a good show, though, when it comes in 6 to 10 after every break.
So, and our studio is about, what would you call it, 20 by 15? Maybe not even that big?
I'm really bad with measurements and everything like that. Terrible with them.
I'm going to say 20 by 15.
You're going to say that?
Imagine being in a room.
I don't know.
Imagine being in a room with two other people. 4 hours at a crack.
Yes.
That size, 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You get a little stir crazy.
Right.
Right? I love my family. If I was in a room this size with them, having to talk the entire time,
uh-huh,
someone's going down.
Yeah.
All right? Someone's going down.
Right.
So I can understand the decompression zone, but that's how things go.
Yeah.
So it's a little decompression zone, but you and I...
I'm trying to think of some other reply here besides yeah.
Nope, there is none.
That's all I got.
There is none. That's exactly what we've got. All right, Warriors this week is what we've got right now.
Can I mention something?
I want to relate
something with the Warriors here and what happened with Lamar Jackson last night.
Okay.
There's one constant in this equation, and it's Drake. The Drake curse...
You're big on this.
...is alive and well.
In what way?
In last season, okay? Last season, everyone's saying, well, he's a fan of the Raptors, so the Raptors...
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight.
Exactly.
He's a fan of the Raptors, so the Raptors won a championship. The Drake curse is lifted. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, he got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant's jerseys tattooed on him, a 30 and a 35. Look what happens to them next season.
Mm-hmm.
Not even playing right now.
Mm.
Not even playing.
Mm.
And last night, Lamar Jackson goes out there and lays an egg against the Tennessee Titans after earlier this week.
He's a ball grabber.
Drake, Drake was wearing Big Trust sweatpants in honor of Lamar Jackson's 23rd birthday, which was earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to earlier when Drake was a fan of Kentucky and they lost.
Preach!
Was a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, was wearing a Maple Leafs jersey at a Toronto game with the number six, and guess what? The Maple Leafs had 6 goals scored against them. Like, there are so many times when Drake is a fan of these teams and they come out losing. And on last season, he was basically a fan of both. He was a fan of 2 players on both teams last year. Look where they're at now. And Lamar Jackson yesterday, look where they're at. I believe in this curse.
Well, he was all on the Raptors, and the Raptors took down the Warriors.
Okay.
That's a win.
That's a win.
That's a championship.
That's a half a win.
Championship.
That's half a win. All right?
Championship.
You know what? I just still believe in it.
All righty.
I still believe in it.
Because he dubbed Toronto the Six. I will forever call it the Six.
Uh-huh.
You know, because whatever Drake says goes.
Ugh.
Is he kind of fake front guy, or is he real front guy?
What do you mean real?
He's a team ambassador.
Right.
Right? But is he the Snoop Dogg? Because how many different NFL jerseys is Snoop Dogg pictured in? Like, he goes to a Pittsburgh game, he's repping the Steelers. He goes to a Raider game, he's repping the Raiders. He goes to Ram games, he's repping the Rams.
Right.
Is Drake kind of that guy? Well, is Drake Canada's Snoop Dogg?
For Snoop...
888-957-9570.
That's not what we want to get into right now. But look, Snoop is a fan of the Steelers. If you follow him on social media, you know that.
He's a fan of the Raiders.
No, he's a fan of the Steelers.
He's a fan of the Raiders.
Right.
And he's a fan of the Bears. And he's a fan of the Packers. Am I right? Just search Snoop Dogg NFL jersey.
Right.
Find out. I think he's got Atlanta Falcons crap.
No, it's very, it is, you could draw the comparison, but it's like that a lot with these rappers and artists. One of the few who stay true is Lil Wayne. For some reason, he's a big Packer fan. You're going to be seeing that a little later on. Probably a little wheezy F baby. Just trying to cheer for the Packers a little later on.
Two of my best friends in Northern California, one is a Packer fan, one is a Seahawks fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do this afternoon.
I mean, just root for whoever. You don't have to root for anybody.
Nah, I like both people.
There you go.
I root for people. I don't root for teams.
Well, who do you like more?
That's a good question.
You got to figure out whether you
Maybe
like the Packers or Seahawks fan more.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. All right. Let's get into some stuff off the Chilton Automotive
Sorry,
text
I just
line.
Had to bring that up. I
Drake
had to bring up the Drake
is just
curse.
Better known as a mascot. Not really a fan, but a mascot.
Yeah.
Or just a cheerleader. Drake has a tattoo of Steph and KD's jerseys that you said you talked about.
Right,
that.
And that's why I say the curse still exists. The Raptors win does not lift that.
Do the Warriors have more true
Kawhi left.
Celebrities? You're right. So even though Drake won, Kawhi left. So Drake won a championship with the Raptors as their super fan.
Mm-hmm.
E-40, a true Niner fan. He's been repping them since the 90s.
True.
Is that true?
Yeah.
E-40 also, he's a true Warrior guy.
Warrior guy.
He's real Bay Area guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Was he at the World Series when the Giants were in the World Series? That is correct. That is correct. So he's Bay Area sports guy.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like E-40 for that reason alone. So, we got enough out of that material. That's all I can say.
That's all you got?
That's all I got on the Drake curse that you've brought into play here.
It's a real thing.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you going to force him to get at least Steph's number tattoo removed?
He's got to. He's got to right away.
Are you going to start a GoFundMe page in order to do that? In
yes.
order to pay for it?
Yes, exactly.
Because
he's the one who needs money to help him out with stuff.
And then it'll get picked up.
There's got to be like a different GoFundMe type thing where it doesn't involve money. It just says like, hey, enough fans say this about you. So you got to do this one thing.
I like it.
Instead of just using actual money and, hey, pay for it all on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of like an online signature thing.
Right.
I like that idea. But it'll get picked up. You do that, it'll get picked up on social media.
Yeah.
And then according to the 201, I will get into more social media beefs than Kevin Durant. So
you see that?
I'm ready to get into more. Well, okay, you want to get into that? He's a former Warrior. This is Warriors this week. We're going to slide it in there. Explain what Durant likes to do this every once in a while.
Yeah, you know what? Durant's been most recently replying to people who have been just downplaying the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie coming back and everything. So he's responding to people on Twitter who are just fans with a dumb opinion. Fans that have sometimes a smart one, but mostly he replies to the dumb ones. The fans with the dumb opinions, that's who most of these athletes reply to. And I'm like, just don't reply to these people. But when Kendrick Perkins comes out and says that Russell Westbrook is the best player to come out of OKC after the Rockets played against the Thunder in OKC and he got the reception from the crowd and everything, KD responded. I got to pull up all the tweets right here, but KD basically responded to him. It wasn't okay with Kendrick Perkins saying Russell Westbrook was the best OKC player ever. Wasn't okay with that.
Really? That's interesting. And while you pull those tweets up, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. It is a radio.com sports station. Jim Cozumore, Stephen Langford with you until 1:30 when JD and Whitey Gleason take over with the Warriors pre as the Warriors get ready for the Memphis Grizz in this one. Kevin Durant always in the news. My favorite Kevin Durant Twitter beef, I believe it was Twitter, it might have been Instagram. I think it was a 15-year-old Oklahoma City fan who was kind of ripping KD, and KD was getting after him. Yeah, and it was a good back and forth, and I give credit to the 15-year-old for kind of hanging in there with Kevin Durant. I do wonder why some of these guys do get into those beefs, but
I don't get it when it's up against these guys who really, the opinion is just the opinion. It's just a Twitter opinion, and that's all it is, and that's fine. When you got guys like Kendrick Perkins who are actually in the media and are saying stuff like this, it goes on two ends of the spectrum. One, would you rather have a guy like Kevin Durant who goes out and basically tries to downplay whatever that notable person is saying, or do you want him like Kawhi Leonard, like who is completely silent when Stephen A. Smith is saying that behind the scenes, I've heard that Kawhi Leonard tells LeBron James he can't guard me. Like, that's the type of... That's what I've heard, right?
It's a good screaming.
You don't hear Kawhi Leonard going out on Twitter basically refuting any of that. It's just because he doesn't hear any of the noise. Would you rather have that or a guy like Kevin Durant who's way more... he's way more interactive.
Now, this is me, all right?
It's you.
I would much prefer Kawhi Leonard... by a mile.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
But Kawhi Leonard does no good for the NBA, and he's a two-time MVP of the finals.
Yeah.
Because the league is built on a bunch of numbskulls tweeting and Instagramming and everything else out there, snapping, all right? How much of this league is news, and how much of this league is fake news? We live on everybody's reaction to marginal tweet of, and we're guilty in sports talk radio, are you going to trade the number one pick in D'Angelo Russell for Ben Simmons? Because some moron in Philadelphia brought up that Simmons could leave, or some national numbskull said that. The league has lived on that, but it's also starting to shrink because of it, and they can't see it in front of their own eyes.
Right. And can we get to this Twitter beef with Kendrick and Kevin Durant?
No, I want to rant a little bit more.
No, hang on.
About a league I once loved that I now find to be miserable to be watching.
I got it all pulled up. I got the thread.
Go.
All right, so Kendrick Perkins says, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to give my opinion on SportsCenter on why I believe that Russell Westbrook is the best player to have ever put on an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. He is, in all caps, Mr. Thunder. So he's Mr. Thunder. And then there are a couple others who responded to him saying, basically, I don't want to go through all of them, but basically they said that Kevin Durant is the best OKC player of all time. And then Kendrick said, hey, Kevin left the door open and Russ walked right in. Then another guy responded to him. Then Kendrick responded saying, KD lost in the second round without Russ when I was there. So what does that mean? Then that's when Kevin Durant comes in.
Oh, now off the top rope.
Off the top rope. And I totally just clicked on something and lost everything.
Oh, that's
and then
awesome.
He says, yeah, and our starting center, tags Kendrick Perkins, averaged a whopping 2-3 during that series. You played hard, though, champ. And then he said, boy, stop. You did the weakest move in NBA history, up on a team 3-1 in Western Conference Finals, and then go join them the following season. Heart of a champion there.
Let me ask, who was that, just a random person on
Twitter?
No,
that was Kendrick.
Kendrick said,
yeah,
you're up 3-1, you lost.
Said it was weak.
That's damn bold.
And then Durant replied, weak is starting at center, playing real minutes with no production. Should have worked on your skills as much as I did.
Oh, damn.
Then Kendrick responds, that's fine. You worked that hard and still had to go join a 73-9 team. Truth be told, you don't even feel like a real champ. You have a hard time sleeping at night, huh? Knowing that you took the coward way out.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you know what?
But back to your rant on NBA.
I just like watching games. That's cool. I just like watching games. I think there's a faction of fan that thinks that's the NBA. And playing the games is the ancillary stuff.
Yeah.
Playing the games is the stuff that gets us to see stupid tweets. When I got jagweeds going back and forth on Twitter, right? That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of today's NBA fan would rather see. A bunch of numbskulls doing stupid stuff
right.
on social media.
And guys like, you know, Kendrick Perkins, I don't want to disparage whatever he does because he still watches basketball and you can tell he at least watches the game. But some of these things are just said so they can at least get some sort of attention and get ratings and all that stuff. I don't know if that's Kendrick Perkins' aim. I know that it's the aim of some of these media members where they just want ratings when they're just saying this outlandish stuff that's really not true. And, you know, it's like, hey, bring that player on. Come have and dispute it with me. Like, that's how you get people to watch. But that's just not how it is anymore. It's not going to go away from that. That's just how it is.
To get to the point of what Kendrick Perkins was trying to say, and whether you believe he has a bone to pick with Kevin Durant or he wanted to have a hard take that people could get into a discussion about.
Yeah.
You could easily make the case that Russell Westbrook is Mr. Thunder. Because he was drafted there, he wanted to be there, he signed there. It didn't change until Paul George said, I want to go.
Right.
And the organization said, we are redirecting our resources and remaking what the Oklahoma City Thunder are, went to Russell Westbrook and said, this is the direction we're going. Do you want to be a part of it? We will open the door for you to leave.
Right.
Right. I would say you could easily make the case that if Westbrook had his druthers, he would have stayed in Oklahoma City for his entire career. Oklahoma City changed the direction, gave him the option to leave.
Right.
That makes him, to me, he will always be Oklahoma City's favored son.
They showed that they were in a full-on rebuild and whatnot. And you know what? I could see that the fans giving him that ovation that they did give him when he went back to OKC. That just proves what the Thunder fans think about him. You may look at him as a better player, but as the more beloved kind of guy you're going to look back on when you're a Thunder fan, you're going to look back on Kevin Durant as that guy, like Kendrick Perkins said, that went to the 73-9 team, whereas you'll look at Russell Westbrook as just Russell Westbrook, a guy who was here for an extended period of time.
Yep. You could look at it any way you want to slice it. Every city gets to define who their favored sons are. This is my opinion. I would love one day for Kevin Durant to wear the Thunder uniform one more time.
I think he just needs to delete Twitter, though. Just really delete Twitter.
NBA can't handle
delete,
that.
Delete Instagram.
NBA can't have that.
Like he probably enjoys that stuff, and you know he kind of feels like he has the upper hand in all these conversations, just laughing at himself. Come on, I've done that, where I've made a comeback on Twitter and I've laughed at myself for making that comeback, thinking it's all good, even though it could be wrong.
Damn.
Yeah, have you ever done that where you just say something on Twitter that where someone's, you know, talking mess about you, and then you reply back, and then you reply with a good reply? That's a good comeback. And you're like,
congratulations.
Got him. And you think that to yourself? That's probably what Kevin Durant is thinking right now. I'm not going to tell him to delete Twitter because he probably enjoys Twitter. But, I mean, that's what you got to do if you want him to stay off of it. Just have these guys get off social media entirely. But that's what's made the NBA they haven't been a ratings monster recently, obviously. But it's made
made them as relevant. It escalated them to a point of relevancy that they had never imagined. And social media is a massive piece of that puzzle. But it also is tearing it down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.